VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 396, recorded on August 17th.
The 396th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 229th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Durk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and its hosts.
Yeah.
We have interesting lives.
This week, I've decided that, you know what, we're going to be the gaming podcast and we're going to include a few board games in it as well. So when I say, what have you been playing, you can respond with what video and board games have been playing. And I know Paul did his board game group this past Friday.
That's true, I did.
And I did a game group on Sunday. I don't know if Scott Durk goes to board game groups at all, but...
Well, we have plenty of board games at home.
Yeah, so what have you been playing?
And, well, I mean, even bigger news would be the fact that this weekend was the every other annual meeting of the D23 convention.
Okay.
So, you know, lots of big Disney Interactive news and all sorts
of fun
stuff.
Oh, that's right. I remember you posting your where I am right now. You were bragging you were in the fourth row because you were waiting since 5 a.m. or something like that.
Yep, I waited since 5 a.m. for the Disney Interactive presentation. And I think it didn't start until 11. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, you're a tool. No, I'm kidding.
How am I a tool?
Oh, no, I'm a tool, too, because I shelled out $150 for the Ultra Special Halo 5 Special, whatever edition. So that's why I'm a tool. You're a tool.
Disney is a world leader in family entertainment, and they were making a giant presentation about the very thing that I care about.
Well, so
about
is Microsoft.
The very thing which I care.
And that's why I spent a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, well, you didn't spend any money, but, you know. So what was at this presentation, since we're on that topic?
They started off with a fantastic announcement on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Which is that they will be including a world of San Francisco.
For what? Disney Infinity 3.0?
For Disney's Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
In which Sora, Donald, and Goofy will be journeying to San Francisco, home of Big Max and his fellow members of Big Hero 6, Baymax.
Okay. I was just wondering if they were going to announce, like, there was going to be a world in Disney Infinity 3.0 which dealt with Kingdom Hearts or something.
No, I mean, they had lots of stuff about Kingdom Hearts. They had lots of stuff about Star Wars. As far as Infinity, you know, they were talking about all the playsets coming out for Star Wars, you know, like the Twilight of the Republic playset, which is going to be the first one. They announced one based on the upcoming trilogy of movies.
If they're going to have Star Wars and Kingdom Hearts.
Well, I mean, if I could get that far with all of the news that is spilling out from this presentation, which was amazing.
Was the presentation?
It was almost 2 hours.
Oh, okay. So at least, you know, I mean, if you're going to spend 6 hours just sitting around, you might as well get 2 hours worth of fun.
Oh, absolutely. And so every year, if you happen to collect all of the Infinity figures for that particular year, you know, the 1.0, the 2.0, et cetera,
right,
there's an ultimate thing that is unlocked in the game.
Oh.
And for this year, year three, 3.0, the ultimate unlock has been announced as a Keyblade, which can be used by any character in the toy box.
Keyblade?
The original Keyblade, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
The it's weapon from Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay. See, I don't play Kingdom Hearts. And by the way, you know, one of the good things I'm glad is that Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 is going to be available for people who haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 on the machines it's going to be released for. So it's going to be on Xbox One. It's going to be on PS4. Still no announcement for Nintendo. But, you know, I have to believe that at some point it's going to be released on Nintendo.
It didn't...
I don't think so.
What? No, if it sells enough, you know, they can just say, hey, we can port it, whatever.
Wait, so they lost another IP to Sony, and that's...
Here's the thing is that...
Wait, who lost an IP?
No. See, here's the thing, Scott. If no one's buying games on the console, people are less reticent to release games on the console. That's why Ubisoft stopped releasing games on the Wii U, because they weren't making money on any of the games they were releasing.
And I'm just That's... I thought it was Nintendo's IP.
No, it was never Nintendo. It's always been Square and Disney's IP. It was
It's not even really.
It first appeared on the PlayStation. Was it a one? No.
It originally okay. Kingdom Hearts 1. Expert speaking. Kingdom Hearts 1 appeared on the PlayStation 2 back in, I believe, 2002 or 2003.
Right, because I remember the big deal that was made about it at the time that Square was doing a Disney game.
It is on
right,
the
DS, and the,
that's why I get confused. Okay.
And the relationship is more that it is a Square Enix game in which they have gone ahead and licensed with permission Disney characters for use in a new and unique way.
I'm willing to bet you at the very least it's going to be on the 3DS because they're always remaking stuff on the 3DS.
I
don't know.
So
as far as
it's the only thing that's going to get Paul to. I forgot. Are they making a PC version of Kingdom Hearts 3? I forgot.
Why would they?
Because they might. Square has made plenty of PC games.
They haven't announced one. They've only announced. They haven't announced any platform specifications.
Oh, they announced the Xbox One and PS4. That's official. I know that.
No,
because...
I mean, other than that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the summons aren't just QuickTime movie events. They're playthrough modes.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic. Oh, the hot giveaway gift for attending the presentation was a Disney Infinity Power Chip. Which, when used in conjunction with the 3.0 edition Mickey Mouse figure, puts your Mickey Mouse figure in his King Mickey from Kingdom Hearts.
You see, it was a good idea for me to choose the Mickey Mouse at E3.
Yes, it's sitting right here.
Yeah, so.
So panel attendees received one, and they swore that they will never. Produce it for mass market. It won't be sold. It's these 5,000, and that is it.
So I have to admit, imagine that you checked eBay.
I will be accepting bids. The line forms to the left.
Yeah.
Pique my interest, kids.
Paul is for sale.
Nah, I mean,
or the stuff he owns is for sale.
Probably not.
Paul himself.
Make it worth my while. Make it worth my time to hear you out.
So, what have you actually been playing?
Oh my god, I played everything. I played Star Wars Battlefront. I played
Star Wars Battlefront.
They had it at the
demo. Yeah, I played it back at E3 as well. So they're releasing it.
I'm sorry. You meant outside of the thing. I was just about to name.
You can say what demos you played.
Oh yeah, they had the Star Wars Battle Pod Deluxe Edition. It's like $100,000, and you could like have an arcade game in your house.
Ooh.
Yeah, like literally climbing into a cockpit booth. Let's see. They had a bunch of mobile games on display, including the fantastically well done mobile game Inside Out Thought Bubbles.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, it's really well balanced. Well,
I haven't seen that
yet. It's featuring the characters from Inside Out.
Yeah, I haven't seen Inside Out yet, and fortunately, there's still. Inside Out is still in theaters, so
there's a little time left to get it, but I'm assuming it's going to be out of theaters by the time kids start going back to school, so you might want to jump on that. Oh, we got to see the new unreleased Inside Out short, Riley's New Date, with a question mark.
That doesn't help. I have no context for that, so.
A short that happened after the event of the movie.
No, I get that. I'm just saying it's like, I don't know who Riley is, and you know, and all that
stuff. Riley,
you haven't seen the movie?
No. I don't have time to see every movie out there.
He is a soulless minion of orthodoxy, Scott. That's what you gotta
I'm a poor minion of orthodoxy who doesn't go to theaters much anymore. The last movie I saw was Mad Max Fury Road a couple of weeks ago.
Ask me how many movies I've been to in the last year, Jonah.
I don't want to guess because it'll make me depressed.
Scott, ask me how many.
63.
How many movies, Paul?
I've been to one movie in theaters in the last 12 months.
Okay, and that was Inside Out.
Guess which movie it was.
Inside Out. Yeah.
It's all about having your priorities straight, Jonah. That's all I'm saying.
You should have seen Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, it's really, really good. Anyway, so what games did you play outside of the Disney experience?
Like I said, I was in there all weekend.
Did play board games.
My game jam. Let's see. Oh, I played Mysteria. which was awesome. It's You're Dead.
Okay.
One player is dead. They've been murdered. And they're trying to communicate to all the other players who are psychics.
What? This is... Yeah. Oh. This I've got to check out.
Well, if I can finish. So all the other players are psychics. And the ghost is trying to communicate with them through their dreams. And so it starts handing... like, so the ghost is trying to communicate to each person a different location, weapon, and person.
So is this sort of like reverse Clue?
A little bit. And so... it's and these are largely like open to interpretation. So it's like there might be like a spatula in this particular painting of like an abstract dreamscape, and you could be seeing that and give it to the player, meaning that it was the chef that I'm trying to communicate to you.
Right.
And the other person might see a bird and be like, "Oh, it was the feather duster." Like, "Oh, no." And you can't say anything.
So it's sort of like Clue meets Dixit.
Yeah, it's a really neat game.
I have to check it out.
And so, you know, once each of the players figures out the set that they're trying to, you know, that you're giving them a vision about, they have to work together to figure out which of those people with that item and that weapon were the murderer. So it's a really cooperative game. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in English in October.
Oh, okay. So it's not out yet. So have you played any Vidya games?
Haven't I played any midget games?
Vidya
oh.
games.
Well, I mean, I'm still stuck on the last level of Heroes 2. It's the last one. I'm halfway through it. I had to restart it like 4 times.
Like 80 black dragons in your way or something?
You know, I really can't stand when the consequence of a choice are revealed 3 hours later. It's like, well, why did you just waste my time? And it's like, but you know what? I can't really be that mad about it because the game's like what, from 1992, so it's like,
well,
they
at this
have
point,
the greatest design principles then.
At this point in the campaign, it would be mostly a puzzle thing, you know, in which, you know, there are certain things that you have to do that's going to ensure your success, you know, sort of like a puzzle.
No, this is the last board,
that's what I meant,
so it's
though.
Just like everybody race to build up your military strength and let's jump into the combat system with as much fervor as possible because it's the last board.
How about you, Scott? What did you play?
I played, video game-wise, I played King's Quest, and it's interesting that you brought up about choices and having consequences later on, because in King's Quest, the prologue is you getting the mirror from the dragon. And it's funny, because if you played the original story, this story is so much different than the original, but he kind of... Because it's funny, because the kid, his granddaughter, starts saying, "Are you sure that's how it happened, Grandpa?" And he's like, "Yes, of course. This is what happened. There were beds everywhere." And anyways, basically, he gets the mirror, and he comes face-to-face with the dragon, and he has a choice of how to deal with the dragon. And it was interesting, because the actor saying, "There are 3 choices before me. Each will let me, each will free me, but each will have rippling consequences. And one of them was to shoot the wheel that basically frees the dragon. Another one, because see, the dragon has a blind eye, so it has one good eye. And so the eye is another target. I don't know what the third one was. Maybe shooting in his mouth, I don't know. But I chose the wheel, because I was thinking he was going to yank the dragon back, but apparently it freed him. And I was like, okay, but... it's interesting because I don't know when those consequences are going to come to fruition. It could be at the end of this chapter, or it could be at the end of the whole entire series, which is going to be like 5 games.
What are you doing with your mic? You're going in and out, and it sounds like you swallowed your mic.
I have no idea. I'm not doing anything to it.
You went...
So you didn't hear anything I just said?
We heard it. It was just... like you were possessed by Zool.
I have no idea. I didn't do anything to it.
So, anyways, getting back to Pixels.
Don't mind me, folks. I'm just here for the comments.
Okay. So, as for me, I finished Mass Effect 1, and I finished Mass Effect 2, and now I'm starting up Mass Effect 3, and unfortunately, gamer poop has sort of affected me for Mass Effect 3, because...
Gamer poop?
Yeah, it's a YouTube series in which they famously are able to take characters from video games such as Mass Effect or Skyrim and have them say the most outrageous things possible or do the most outrageous thing. The most famous is the Skyrim Shuffle, in which I know you play Skyrim, Scott.
Yes, I have.
So this guy is sneaking up on a guy, you know, to pickpocket. He pickpockets him, and the guy turns around and says, "Did I just hear someone level up? Take a step back." And then he starts dancing, like, Skyrim Shuffle, you know, take this tissue, cause you're wet, and twirl, honey, twirl. You know, it's hilarious. Anyways.
Right, because degrading a man as if they were a woman is...
No, actually, Paul, watch it. It's not degrading at all. It's actually sort of empowering in a weird way.
That's right, it doesn't sound like my kind of humor. Okay.
No, trust me. I'll send you the video for Skyrim Shuffle. It's hilarious. So in this, and I don't know if Paul's going to like this. So what happens is that in one of the gamer poops, Shepard, he has a catchphrase, by the way, in the gamer poops, and that's, "We'll bang, okay?" So anyways, he meets up with Diana Allers, and if you know anything about Mass Effect 3, she's the reporter, played by Jessica Chobot, you know, goes on the ship, and she has a show called Battle Space. So, in the parody, her show is called Battle Tits. And, what's it called? Shepard starts fantasizing and imagines her breasts getting huger and huger and huger. And the thing is that now, when I watch that scene, I'm thinking about the gamer poop video and not the actual thing. So it sort of, like, infected my brain, you know. hold on one sec.
It's a shame when the parody starts taking place over the actual...
But the thing is that, you know, the thing is that the person who made the videos is really skilled, in which he's able to form words that weren't in the game itself, through syllables, right? And are able to match up the syllables so that they form new words and all that. It's hilarious.
I think the Skyrim Shuffle would have been funnier had they mentioned taking an arrow to the knee or being a...
Oh, no, they have other things like that, too. I know all my drag queen friends love that Skyrim Shuffle. Anyways, so yeah, I played that. Now, I also played I had my board game group this weekend, and first I played Dixit, because the thing is that not a lot of people went to the group this week. You know, there's only six of us, and the problem was that, you know, it was too hot and people weren't going in. You know, they were either doing something else or they couldn't make it. And then we played a long 6-player game of Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh, I want to play that game.
And in order to play with 6 players, you have to play with all the expansions. And you know, anyway, it's not a difficult game, but I felt drained at the end. It was just that that kind of game, and I didn't win, but it was one of those feel good drained.
Yeah, it's a lot of details, a lot of stuff you can do, and you have to try to collect resources to beat the other lords.
Yeah. So, anyways, so the question of the week this week is going to be what? Because here's the thing: this week there's not a lot of news. You know, we're at that period of the video game industry in which the big games...
Period of the season.
The season that the big games have not come out yet. They're not coming out yet. They're coming out soon, and I think the first big ones are going to be coming out in a week with Mad Max: The Game and... Was it Call of Duty that's coming on September 1st? I know one of the biggest games is coming on September 1st. You know, so September 1st is when the big games are coming out. But there isn't much news before then. You know, sort of like the calm before the storm. So,
right. It's like everybody's waiting to receive their shipments of toys and merchandise.
And it's not even that. It's just that there's
We know everything that's coming, right?
Yeah, and there's nothing in the industry that's really happening. So... The question of the week this week is, what game are you most looking forward to this coming season? You know, and Paul.
This coming season, okay.
This coming season, not in the far future, like 2016 or anything like that. The ones that are coming out this coming season fall begins and all the major releases are being released. Paul, what are you looking forward to?
I have to admit, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the content that is going to be released for Disney's Infinity.
Disney Infinity? Oh, that's right. Disney Infinity is being released in mid-September, right? Modes.
They've really partnered with a lot of the experts in particular kinds of gaming. And the names are escaping me off the top of my head because it's a little late in the day. But they're releasing the older versions of the racing mechanics in Infinity were a little clunky, but they've gone ahead and gotten some of the expert racing teams in the industry and subcontracted out, you know, little parts of Infinity to like, hey guys, we want to make sure to give our players racing games that they could design themselves. Can you like make sure that they don't handle like shopping carts? It's like, yeah, sure. And so it's like, if you open up the splash screens for 3.0, like there's tons of really awesome partners in there that did everybody did a little bit of it to make something really awesome.
Right.
You know, so between like, side-scrolling platformers and racing games and, you know, the new toy boxes and new figures. I mean, the Inside Out figures look friggin' adorable. I got disgust and sadness by going to the booth.
What? Disgust and... Huh?
Okay, yeah. So Inside Out takes place in the head of a 12-year-old girl.
Right,
and
yeah.
And they're little people that help catalog.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your own disgust. You're talking about disgust as in one of her emotions.
Right. Okay. Disgust the character and sadness the character from Riley's head.
Wait a minute. Now, let's see if I remember. Just from the trailer, we have sadness, happiness, fear.
We have sadness, joy, fear, anger.
And those are the ones disgust. I know of, those four.
And disgust. There are only five.
Okay, I don't remember that character. I just remember the others.
She's kind of like a green colored Valley Girl almost, except a little more intelligent than that stereotype is particularly portrayed.
Right.
So she's like, ugh, whatever. Like her job in this society, you know, of microcosm of Riley's head, is to keep Riley safe. So disgusting things are usually unsafe, like rotten food.
Fear would keep her safe.
Yeah, but I mean, they all kind of work together is the point. So, like, if you're disgusted by rotten food, it's probably not good for you.
Right. So here's the thing. Next week is when everything starts coming out. You have Madden, you have Infinity 3.0, you have Satellite Rain, you have Metal Gear Solid 5, and then you have Mad Max, and from there everything's downhill. So, Paul. Paul already said, how about you, Scott? What are you looking forward to?
Well, of course, I'm looking forward to Fallout 4, but also the Pillars of Eternity expansion, the Sword Coast Legacy game that's coming out. I'm not sure what month that will come out, but it should be pretty soon, I think. Hmm. So it's a lot of good games coming out.
Yeah, Sword Coast Legends?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It doesn't have it. It only has a quarter four release date. It's very, very...
Yeah, very...
I could just go the easy route and say Halo 5, but that's not the game I'm looking forward to most. In terms of, you know, because here's the thing, you know, there are games that you're going to buy no matter what, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I don't want to hear anything about Zelda.
Goodbye.
So, the game that I'm looking forward to, I'm not going to be getting Metal Gear Solid 5, that's for sure, because I'm not a fan of that series. Here's something interesting. You know that Heroes of Might and Magic... they changed the name of it. It's no longer Heroes of Might and Magic. They changed it with number 6 to Might and Magic Heroes. There's going to be Might and Magic Heroes 7 coming out. I have 16. I haven't even gone into it.
Jonah, you're just trying to like blow all of my free time in like 2017 with this news, aren't you?
But I think I'm looking forward to Lego Dimensions, which is basically the Lego version of Infinity / Skylanders / it's Lego's collectible Toys to Life game, and that one intrigues me because it has sort of you know.
I was just waiting for an opportunity to bring that up, not to be perceived as a strict.
No, you're not. I know.
Which I am.
Here's the thing, Paul will never jump on a bandwagon because he has his own bandwagon to jump on.
The percussion in my own head is so loud that I can't march to anything else. But I have to really say, I'm super excited about
LEGO Dimensions. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just, I love the whole category, frankly. So anytime somebody wants to jump into it, like, I'm freaking thrilled. Right. But they're, I mean, yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on it, but it's like,
And they're doing things a little differently with it, too. They're not quite doing what Skylanders and Infinity and,
Right.
They're doing their own thing.
And it's just, like, I would love to talk more about it, but, like, they won't let anybody touch it.
Wait. Like, what do you mean they won't let anybody touch
it? It wasn't available as a playable demo in E3. It's not like, you know, there's, at least to my knowledge, that there's been a giant, you know, Warner Brothers company-wide, you know, thing to go to get your hands on it, like they're, you know, like Disney does with D23.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, give me access so I can, like, be more excited about it,
yeah.
You know? But, like, I really am just as excited about LEGO Dimensions as I am about Infinity 3.0, and it's like, you know, I really think as far as, video game space for non-shooting people, that this might be, the race to watch, guys.
And, you know, LEGO is backed by Warner Brothers, and they have their own little, and they also made deals with Universal, too. And they had to have, because otherwise they wouldn't have Back to the Future available in it.
Right, and it's just like, it feels like we're getting into like some Mario Sonic territory over here. Like, this is going to be really interesting soon.
But you know what the funny thing is? That all these people who are making their things, you know, Amiibos and Disney Infinity and Skylanders and this, none of them actually view each other as competition.
Oh, no. I mean, that's absolutely the thing. I mean, there's... The pie is so massive that there's plenty for everybody.
And I think they have this idea that having more choices in different things is only going to grow the genre rather than, you know.
Absolutely. It's about being able to, if somebody perceives that, you know, Disney's original figures are not for them, that they're maybe too young, like, they might really be excited about the Back to the Future characters. And that's how you open people's mind to a totally new game experience, a new style, a new genre. I mean, what would Rock Band have been if it was first released as a children's type game where all you could do was like kids bop, and then Rock Band came out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be really interesting as a point in history, is my point.
The one game I'm really intrigued is Mad Max, because it seems like it's going to be like Red Dead Redemption set in the Mad Max world. So I'm hoping that's good. Because I'm intrigued by it, but I'm waiting on reviews before I do anything with it. And by the way, Scott, are you going to be picking up the Fallout Anthology?
I already have parts 3, 1, and 2. The only thing I'm missing is pretty much Tactics and New Vegas. I got most of it already.
Yeah, they're releasing every single thing that's ever been revealed, except for the canceled games.
Yeah.
So, Fall 4 is this year?
November.
Okay. Right. I mean, that's what I'm excited about, too. That's probably going to be a first-day purchase for me as well.
Yeah.
Not to forget XCOM 2. So, that's coming out this year as well.
Oh, that's right. There's an expansion for Civilization... Rising Tide. I think it was Rising Tide.
For Civilization where, 5 or Sumeria Beyond the Wars?
Civilization Beyond Earth.
Beyond Earth,
an expansion pack called Rising Tide. And they nicknamed it Bert, like Bert and Ernie. And you get to have cities on the water, and there's more resources in the water, there's more aliens, there's more factions.
Right.
And I think they overhaul the diplomatic mechanic, so that'll be more developed, hopefully, and also make the game better, because that's what most people are hoping for, that the expansions will make the game better, even though it, you know, should have been good to begin with, but that's okay.
Yeah. Of course, you know, other people are going to be looking at Star Wars Battlefront and Just Cause 3 and the new Hitman game. Of course, Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
I'm a little disappointed in the Battlefield, because I heard that there's no single-player campaign that they decided not to make one, which kind of puts a damper on it for me.
Are you talking about Battlefront? Star Wars Battlefront?
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront. They said there's not going to be a single-player campaign. It's just going to be multiplayer only, I think.
I think they're making some other single-player games for that. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that at all. Okay. Anyways, so we're going to move on to the first news item. Guillermo del Toro quits video game development. This comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Despite recently hinting that he was still planning projects with Hideo Kojima, I don't know if Hideo Kojima is going to be making anything large-scale anytime soon, you know. Cult director Guillermo del Toro has declared that he's giving up on making a video game. He told Shack News, "I have proven to be the albatross of video games. I joined THQ and THQ goes broke. I joined Kojima and Kojima leaves Konami. I decided, in order not to destroy anyone else's life, that I've decided I'll never get involved in video games. Otherwise, I'll join someone in his house will explode or something." I have something to say about that.
Oh, I have several things to say about that.
Yeah, the two projects he's referring to, Insane for THQ and Silent Hills with Konami, were both widely anticipated but barely made it past the initial announcement hype before cancellation. I learned a lot from Kojima-san, of course, and I learned my experience at THQ. It changed the way I see narrative. We put 2 years of work in THQ, he went on to say. It was insane. We mapped it out. We did the viable... We did the outlines, we did the screenplay, we did a bunch of stuff. I know some of the tricks, or the stuff that I wanted to learn, I learned. Then I went to the side of Kojima-san, because he's a master, and I can gladly say we are friends and I love his work, and I will continue learning from him as a friend. But I am not, if I join another video game, World War III will start. The first thing I want to say is, bye, Felicia.
And Felicia?
Bye, Felicia. You don't know that line?
No.
Nope.
Bye, Felicia.
I know Goodnight Gracie. You probably don't, but...
Bye, Felicia. Anyways, I would like to remind him that Insane was canceled long before THQ went broke. So, yeah, you were not the reason THQ went down. Let's put it that way. And, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
Not that I have been following this story at all, because, Guillermo del Toro pretty much blips on my radar about as much as, he does as on my Godchildren's.
But here's the thing,
The joke there being that they just turned one.
He did one movie that was everybody liked, and it was Pan's Labyrinth, and then he did Hellboy, and then everything else has been junk.
I mean, aside from that, he is a recognizable name in the film industry, and I think that and this is what I would suspect. I have absolutely no knowledge, but if I were to look at my experience in game development and what I know about making games, and applied it to here's this film director coming in from another industry, I would have to guess that he didn't realize that most successful games have to kind of understand that when it comes down to a choice between gameplay and story, that gameplay always really needs to win. It can't just be such a static experience. And I think that if I were to get this viewpoint, which I expressed many times on this program, as a story, T-shirt, I would summarize it as,
yes.
Say it with me, folks.
Yeah.
Story is gameplay's bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, and I really think that it might have, it's just a supposition. But if it was, Guillermo del Toro, who nobody can seem to rein in on a film.
Yeah, he was supposed to direct the Hobbit films.
Yeah, it just seems that he wouldn't have, checked his ego enough to, let the game not revolve around him and his ideas.
Well, the thing is that, he is coasting, and it seems to me that he's just willing to coast. I mean, there are some people who remind me of Guillermo del Toro who've been successful, like Marcus Persson, who everybody knows from Minecraft. He's in his own element in video game development. However, Marcus is not static. He's not going to just try and coast, on his name. He's going to do stuff that's unusual, and, how about you, Scott?
Well, I don't know about the coasting thing exactly, because I liked Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy, and I don't know what else I can't remember what else
he did
done.
Hellboy 2, which was a flop, I can't remember what else he's done. All I know is that he's made a lot of projects and never went through on them. That's the thing I'm trying to say.
Right, I understand that. Yeah, the I was like reading what he was saying, and it sounds almost like he walked into projects that were already in trouble, and then he's blaming himself. And I didn't really think that he'd be superstitious or that down on himself. But
all right, the last thing he did was Pacific Rim.
And oh my god, that was.
And terrible. Here's the thing: before Pacific Rim was Hellboy 2, which was 5 years before that. So,
still better than most of M. Night Shyamalan's work. I mean, that's just been getting worse and worse.
He did do The Devil's Backbone. So, anyway, yeah, but he just in between projects, that's 5 years between film projects. I mean, he did write, you know, but a lot of the stuff that he wrote was the Hobbit stuff that was just tossed out by Peter Jackson, who can't write worth a lick, by the way. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, Paul, getting back to trying to enter, you know, a field that you're not. I mean, he does say that he tried to learn from people from DHQ and from Kojima, you know, about how to develop video games. But I don't know. It just seems like he starts things that he never finishes in any medium. Oh, someone got kicked. Yeah, Paul's not here anymore.
Uh-oh. When did
so try? That's why we have to bring him back. I had to call. I don't know what happened there.
Hi. Usually it lets me just press the join ongoing call button when that happens, but
that's
this time
weird.
It wouldn't connect when I did that.
Okay, so the last thing I said was, it doesn't seem like Guillermo del Toro. No, first thing I said that at least he tried to learn from people in the industry, from THQ and Kojima, but it just seems like he doesn't finish things he starts. In any medium.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Because we also noted that the last thing he did was Pacific Rim, in terms of directing, and the last thing he did before that was 5 years earlier, you know, going 5 years between projects. And it's not like, you know, that these things would take 5 years to make. I mean, Pacific Rim was just one big CGI mess.
Yeah, I guess I'm like Paul. I don't really think of him too much because he hasn't done enough. Like you said, he hasn't completed enough projects to really get an impression on his creativity and what kind of things he likes to make.
And the ones that he have completed are creepy and weird. No. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but I am a very on-brand kind of person. I want my I want my cliches right up front. I want my happy Christmas ending at exactly 22 minutes. You know, and Guillermo del Toro is like the absolute opposite of everything that I would enjoy.
Well, at least Hellboy had a very happy ending. I mean, that's
why would I want to go see a movie about Hellboy?
I don't know, because it's okay. It's a good movie, and I really like David Hyde Pierce's work in it.
I enjoy David Hyde Pierce in many, many things. But it's like, come on, like stop just being weird for weird's sake.
Hellboy is it's about a character that is supposed to be this evil thing, and he fights against that, and he wants to show that. And, you know.
Well, yeah, I could definitely understand. Like, I could definitely understand that. I could totally see it's a variation on a character archetype that is just as valid as Beast in Beauty and the Beast. But it just seems like there's this additional layer of like machismo that rams down the audience's throat, and it's like,
it sounds like machismo. I think it's more smug geekiness to me.
Yeah, it sounds like you're describing Michael Bay.
No, it's more like smug geekiness.
But you know what, Jonah? If it's a smug geekiness, the smugness is.
I know.
Feels like it's directed at me, the audience member.
I know. It's just like look how geeky I can be.
Not even look how geekier / better than you I am.
Look how better at being a geek I am than you.
Yeah,
I'm the ultimate geek.
It's a turnoff. It's a turnoff.
Hmm. But, you know, like I said, I don't know. The first time he announced the game, it was insane. And I said, okay, this will be interesting to see. And then it got canceled. And then I just noticed this pattern in which he's starting stuff, you know, and not really following through on it. I would like to see what he was actually doing. If all he was doing was writing and not really contributing much else, you know, or if he was trying to dominate the... If he was trying to dominate everything with his vision, which is fine, by the way, you know, sometimes a project needs a singular vision, but you also have to cooperate with people, too. I mean, filmmaking and video gaming is a collaborative art, you know. There's very few films and very few video games that you can do by yourself.
This is true.
So, moving away from that, we will move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. There is no suspend feature for Steam machines from IGN. While PlayStation 4 and Xbox One let users suspend their games in rest mode, that apparently won't be the case for Steam machines. According to Ars Technica, a Valve engineer admitted on a GitHub bug report thread that suspend is no longer supported on Steam machines. Reasoning behind the decision boiled down to reliability. Given the state of hardware and software support throughout the graphics stack on Linux, we didn't think we could make suspend resume reliable, said the Valve engineer, who says by John Valve on the forum, or who goes by John Valve on the forum.
John is Sony new Valve, yeah.
Sony implemented a suspend resume feature earlier this year on PlayStation 4, while Xbox One has a supported the functionality since Microsoft launched the console in late 2013. The first wave of early Steam Machine pre-orders has already sold out, though the systems are still available for later November launch date. Well, I don't know why you can't have a pause.
Using Linux, and that's their problem right there. And, you know, Valve has this thing that they don't want to be they don't want to rely on Windows. So they keep pushing Linux, and they keep pushing Linux, and they keep pushing Linux. Sony did the same thing with the PlayStation 3, and they paid heavily for it, because then the PlayStation 3 became a haven for hackers, because that's what Linux allows you to do, you know, and they had to cancel their quote-unquote other OS. So, I mean, go ahead.
It just makes no sense how you can't pause the game. We've had pause, I mean, like...
It's suspended state. It's more like when you turn the game off, when you turn the machine off, you can boot it up and it'll be right where you left it, you know, as if it was just paused there while the thing was turned off. That's what they mean by suspend. You can suspend a game on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, you know, so that you don't even have to pause it. You can just close the window and do something else, and when you come back to it, it'll be right where you left it, you know. So it's sort of like ultra multitasking. Paul?
I don't see why this is important.
Well,
When I'm done playing a game, I turn my machine off.
I was about to say that, too. Some people just like to pause or turn off or save or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I like to put out the game, turn it off.
I mean, but there's not a pause button? Is that what this equates to?
There's no suspend feature. Yeah. You can't suspend and resume. It's not a pause, though. It's not a pause, though. It's more like you can't leave the game and then come back to it. You know, you have to pause the game and leave it active on your thing, or save it and then quit. You can't just leave the game.
Oh, you can't use your Xbox for something else. You can't use your...
Yeah, you can't go to something else and then come back and have it waiting for you again in that exact thing. It's pausing while you're doing something else, you know, but it's more like capturing the entire state of the game, right? It's not even paused.
Okay, now I get it. So the Steam machine is now worse than the console. Got it.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Well, here's the thing.
So basically, it's the software is robbing people from using any kind of multifunctioning processing power.
I have to wonder if this would be a problem if they were using DirectX, you know, instead of Linux, you know, because like I said, Steam doesn't want to rely on Microsoft. They consider Microsoft the enemy, and they hate the fact that they have to rely on Windows in order to do their games. You know,
they're making a proprietary platform that refuses to allow people to unlock any ability to use it for more than one thing at a time. They can go screw themselves.
I mean, you can still, you know, there are games that are translated to Linux, but you know, I don't know. Like I said,
I don't know that it's a programming language problem. I think it's a decision that they made.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't want to use Windows. That's basically
I mean, they don't want to put in the time and the time or resources to develop.
Well, apparently they did, and they couldn't make it work.
Okay, well, then they need to get their team together. Like, if you're gonna have a problem, you can solve it.
Or they just work on it after the console is released.
Right, but they don't want to spend. They've made the decision to not spend the resources. That's what I'm trying to tell you from a development perspective. They've said how much is this worth to us, and they just decided it's not worth the money that it would spend to fix it, which is okay. But it sounds like it's more important to their public than they're giving it credit for.
See, I don't see the point for a Steam machine either. I mean, I had a box made by Falcon. I forgot what it was called. So called the Game Box, which is basically a portable computer. I don't see the need for a console computer because I already have a desktop that I can use to play games.
Yes, and, same here.
And I don't really, you know, if I want to play something mobile, I play on my iPad or sometimes on my Android phone. You know, I don't have the need to, you know, to... I don't know what the point of the Steam Machine is because they want to act like a console. They want to have their own proprietary closed... Well, it's not going to be closed because it has Linux in it. I don't know what the point of this is. You know, the only thing I can think of is they're trying to get people to migrate over to Linux, and that's it. Make their own little Linux machine. I mean, it's not a Steam machine, it's a Linux machine. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, there was some stuff in the news about Windows, closing.
Attacking pirated stuff.
Yes, yeah.
But the thing is that was never confirmed that they were actually doing that. The only thing they could find was the EULA, and here's a little hint, every single OS has a EULA. You can't get away from that. There's always an end-user license agreement. So it's the same thing I've heard from about Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows 8. Microsoft wants your data. Let me give you a hint. Microsoft doesn't care about your data. Do they really care about your porn collection? Or
like,
your...
it was even with the Xbox, with the eye. Everybody was like,
Connect,
oh,
yeah. They're going to look at you naked. Trust me, most people don't want to see you naked.
No.
Yeah, don't even get me into conversations of when people start to care about privacy.
Here's the thing, you know, Twitch had that thing in which they stopped people from doing their Twitch things without a shirt on, you know, guys that, you know, and said people had to be clothed. And I can see why that would suck if you wanted people to go to your Twitch because you want something that other Twitch streams don't have. And if you're really buff, you can get people to watch you playing games without your shirt on. You know, and they'll just, you know, but I can see why Twitch wouldn't be enthusiastic about that either. So, anyway, Steam Machine, I'm not bothering. Why not have me buy another Ouya? Actually, that leads into the news item after this one. Paul, why don't you take this item here? Gamescom.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what confused me. I had queued it to the next news article ahead of time. funny. GamesCon sets attendance record, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. An earlier-than-usual GamesCon may have kept some companies from participating as much as they had in years past, but it did little to discourage attendees. GamesCon organizers announced that the 2015 show drew a record 345,000 attendees from 96 countries, including a couple of very good friends of mine. Last year, GamesCon drew 335,000 attendees, down from 340,000 in 2013. Organizers also touted a stronger trade presence at the show, with 33,200 professional visitors, up 5% year over year, and 806 exhibitors, up 15%. Dr. Maximilian. I was so busy trying to make sure I got the.
I was going to see if you're going to say Dr. Maximilian Schreck. Because actually, Maximilian Schreck is the guy who played Nosferatu.
Right. Thank you. Dr. Maximilian Schrink.
Schenk. Not Schreck.
You know,
Schenk.
I'm putting an R in there for no reason. I don't know why.
Because of Ukrainian?
The managing director of GamesCon's conceptual sponsor and German trade group BIU stated, quote, thanks to many new events and campaigns, it has also become even more diversified this year. It is a reflection on the increasing significance of computer and video games in our society. GamesCon has impressively confirmed its exceptional position as the world's largest event for computer and video games and Europe's most important business platform this year.
By the way, he's not saying Europe's most important video game business platform. He's saying Europe's most important business platform, period, this year.
Going on, GamesCon 2015 was held in August 5th through 9th. Previous shows were held in mid to late August. Sony cited the earlier scheduling and the resulting shorter window of time between E3 and GamesCon as a factor in its decision to forego its usual GamesCon press briefing. Next year's show will return to its normal scheduling window, taking place between August 17th and August 21st in Cologne, Germany.
I really want to go sometime. the only reason why I haven't been going is that you're going. The flight to Germany isn't cheap, you know. Although it's
well, I mean, that's why you got to like fly into like Denmark or somewhere and take a train.
I mean, I found out if I do it a little bit ahead of time, I can get an $800 round trip ticket to London. So at least the flight costs are coming down. You know, I really want to go. By the way, this is sort of like an FU to E3 because every year I have to convince E3 that I'm a media professional, even though I have a show, even though my podcast has been on forever, even though I've had a site for a long while. And the fact that I've gone for God knows how many consecutive years since 2002, missing twice. So, you know, it's like here, Gamescom says, well, guess what? We're going to have the public come in too, you know. And they get many more people. They get a lot more attention. They get a lot more exhibitors, you know. And you'd think that E3 would notice what Gamescom is doing and think, they're doing something right. Nah, we'll just punish people for when their site hits go down. We're too important for the common person. Scott.
Yeah, that's really sad that they... it's like to being a little bit of a elitist, it seems like.
You know, there's also the board game... what's it called? Convention in Germany in Hesse. No, is it Hesse? No. Paul, you'd know this, right? The board game, the major board game convention in Germany.
I want to say UberCon, but that sounds so wrong, and I can't get it out of my head now.
What I know it's named after the it's named after the city. It's not Leipzig. That was Spiel. That's right.
Thank you.
Spiel, which is German for game. It's in Essen. Yeah, so that I want to go to as well.
I gotta up my dosage of ginkgo biloba.
Ginkgo biloba. But wait, why? What will that do for you?
It's supposed to improve memory. That's the joke.
Oh, okay. So, Paul, yeah, have you gone to Gamescom? You said you had friends going.
No, I haven't gone to Gamescom.
But you had friends going.
Yeah, I had friends.
Were they going as exhibitors or were they going as just as people going there? They weren't
Professional visitors.
Oh, okay.
Competitive research.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So, you know, if I ever go to Gamescom, you know, I just want to see what it's like. The only thing that I have pause at is that you have so many people there. I wonder how crowded it gets. I have to ask people who've gone what it's like. Because if it's anything like New York Comic Con, you know, which is... I'm not going this year because they have a lot to learn about spacing people out. I mean, it's like you've been to New York Comic Con, Paul. It's just too much. It's a crush.
Well, I've heard that generally Comic Con there's always something going on and that you can't actually see all the people that are having panels or whatnot because some panels are going on at the same time.
You can't go to some panels because people are waiting like 3 hours before.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not my problem. It's like when you're walking the thing, you know, either people are distracted by all the cosplay. So I took some pictures. It's like 50 feet wide and people shoulder to shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. It is just insane in terms of crowdedness. Mm-hmm. And they have the room, you know. They have this downstairs thing, which is almost completely empty, that they could have used. I don't know. I mean, they obviously have the space. Paul, when was the last time you went to Comic-Con with me?
I can't remember.
It was a few
years ago.
Yeah, because I remember because we were doing the Watch the Cosplayers thing game, you know. I should have had a camera and just taken pictures of the cosplayers. Fortunately, we didn't see the 60-year-old... Oh, we did see the 60-year-old white-haired man, bearded man, wearing the Wonder Woman outfit. I believe we did... Yeah, we did see that.
That's interesting.
Well, it's better because they weren't any of those guys wearing the Princess Leia Slave Leia outfit. So, yeah. I don't know why. By the way, did you see this complaint about people say, you know, people complaining about Slave Leia's outfit not being good for kids?
Of the little figure. Yeah.
One father somewhere got upset and.
Yeah.
The thing is that hey, in 1983, I was 13 years old, and there were kids a lot younger in the theater who were watching Return of the Jedi. You know. Now, granted, a lot of them grew up fantasizing about that slave Leia outfit, but I think that's perfectly normal. You know, it's like, yeah, your kid has this healthy sexual attraction to a woman. Who cares? You know, that's not the worst thing in the world for him.
You know? I like Leia in her bounty hunter outfit more.
Oh, but she doesn't. You don't see her. All you hear is saying.
You see her when she takes the helmet off and.
Oh, okay. When she's going to rescue Han.
Yeah, she gets him out and they start.
I saw the how Luke Skywalker is going to appear in Episode 7, and obviously he looks a lot like Ben Kenobi now. You know, quite the belly. I still haven't seen what Leia's going to look like, and I'm praying she's not wearing the slave Leia outfit at this age.
I'm pretty sure that she's not for many reasons besides just age.
So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. And speaking of China, Chinese console crowdfunding project manages to rip off both the PS4 and the Xbox One. That title is a little misleading. Meet the Ouye, not the Ouya, Ouye with an E, an upcoming console that looks like the PlayStation 4 with an Xbox One controller. Delve deeper under the hood of the Ouye's copyright infringing design, and you'll discover there's no shiny 1080p 60 frames per second producing graphical beast there. Instead, you'll find the innards of a cheap Android micro console, like the Ouya. the Ouye will settle for a budget price, but you get what you pay for. You can back it now on the Chinese crowdfunding site JD.com and bag yourself one for about £45, which is $90. The console's manufacturer is hoping to raise about £445,000 from its campaign. Kotaku reports that the company behind Ouye, quote, spent 6 months on the unique design. Yeah. It looks like a PS4 if you've seen the picture, and the controller looks exactly like an Xbox One. So, unique design, yeah. They spent 6 months, I don't know, playing ping pong? The Ouye's controller is a direct copy of Microsoft's pad, albeit with extra buttons in its center. There's still plenty of time for the Ouye to be funded, but the initial feedback for the project has been negative. The Chinese who are backing this don't like the console's similarities to Microsoft and Sony's machines, and I'm wondering if that's because they already have their knockoff Xbox Ones and knockoff PS4s already, and they don't want that. So, yeah. I mean, I will say that one of the biggest problems about the Ouya was that the controller sucked. So if you're going to make a controller, you might as well copy a very successful controller. You know? So.
Hence why they copied the Xbox controller?
Yeah. Paul, are you typing?
Yeah, sorry, I had to take care of a little something.
A little something something. Was it work related at least?
It was an argument about werewolf.
Wait. Oh, you mean the werewolf game as in werewolf as in the. What's it called? The traitor game werewolf that's based on Mafia.
Yeah. So for anybody who might have missed the development in my life over the last year, I've become a member of a group of game enthusiasts who play werewolf about two or three times a month easily. It's a hidden role game in which 70% of the players are on one team and 30% of the players are secretly on a different team. And, everyone, namely the werewolves.
Villagers and werewolves, basically.
The villagers have to figure out who the bad guys are.
They eat them.
Right. And so there was a Facebook posting going on about our most recent game. And I joined in on, saying people were talking about finer points of what had gone on. And I didn't want to join in any of that. And I would say, because I was a wolf that won. And I joined a comment saying, at least at the end of the game, nobody came up to the werewolves and was like, well, you guys only won because this person screwed up that. And that person should have known this other thing.
I hate to say this, Paul, but I would always believe you're a werewolf
for everybody.
In every game.
It's a difficult game for everybody. And, I was commenting on, that there was an increased level of improved sportsmanship. When you're playing a game against somebody,
You know, when the game's over, they're still your friend. So rather than, you know, trying to say, well, like, oh, well, you wouldn't have won if I didn't screw this up. It's like, well, no, here's an idea. How about you be supportive of your friend?
Paul, you know, I hate to say this, but I would always suspect you're a werewolf in every game that I played.
You know, that's the thing, though. Nobody can read me. I apparently give, like, this blank stone face.
I wouldn't read you, but I would just suspect you're a werewolf anyway.
No, they just leave me alone. That's the problem. It's just, like, see, everybody suspects that I'm a werewolf and a villager. But, like, they won't kill me because I'm often, like, they get no read.
I don't like werewolf as much because it has elimination. I prefer games like Resistance, you know, which is you can't be eliminated. You just have to... And everybody thinks I'm a spy, especially since I often wear a red shirt. So, getting back to the Chinese console, I'd rather actually talk about Resistance and Werewolf and all that stuff. But anyways, I don't know. We already had the Ouya. I mean, why... you know, that topic is dying.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that thing. It didn't succeed, I take it.
Okay. So, we're going to get away from video games right now, because I found this hilarious, and also it's a slow news week. Now, for those of you who don't know, Target recently said they were not going to put, you know, gender identification on their clothes anymore. It's not going to be
which is
clothing.
A topic I could go on about in great length.
But here's the thing, you know, and people got upset about it, and my thing is, I don't care either way, because what's going to happen? You're going to go to a pink dress and say, oh, I don't know if I should buy this for my son or not because it doesn't say if it's boys' or girls' clothes. You know, if he decides to get it, that's his
yeah, it's
thing,
like, here's
know.
An idea. Stop trying to tell your children
but if you,
what
you know,
they are. Like,
yeah, but if you can't decide what you think is feminine or masculine, then there's a problem with you.
Not even that. No, I mean, it's challenging their basic concept of what's feminine and masculine.
Well, here's
the
thing.
It's like they say that, you know, they say that they... These groups of people out there say that, like, oh, we can't let, you know, gays have kids because they'll force their gender roles on them. And it's like, wait, really? It's like, you're the same kind of person who will look at, like, two infants in a crib together and go, oh, it's your little girlfriend. It's like,
well, here's
like
the thing.
Let your child be themselves.
I don't mind if, you know, people just want to put pants on boys and dresses on girls. That's fine, you know.
Which has not, by the way, been a constant in our society. That only started happening in, like, the 40s, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
well, I don't think men have worn
pants. Wouldn't be a masculine color.
Well, no, here's blue. Well, that actually... blue and pink, here's the thing, is that people don't understand that it used to be, back in, what's it called, say, this Celtic times, pink was a very masculine color because it was a shade of red, and red is blood,
for
and
blood.
Red is
right,
men.
The blood of your enemy.
And blue was a feminine color. What changed was a pair of paintings in the late 1800s, and you've seen Blue Boy, and there's also the Pink Girl, right? And those two paintings changed everything. You know, that influences, but that's not my point right now. My point is that if you can't decide what's feminine or masculine without having something saying this, you know, okay, I will admit that, you know, I would like to know when something are girls' jeans because they're actually cut differently than a men's
jeans.
Right,
I mean, that's
you know?
Kind of the only thing that I would really want to know is if it's cut for a different, you know, a hippier body type than mine, although I'm pretty hippie as it
But
is.
We're talking about kids' things, and kids don't have hips. You know?
Right, and that's kind of the point here. It's like, and not for nothing, the divide in our country has only happened around the 1950s in the golden age of advertising, where if you told people that they weren't allowed to buy a different, you know, a particular kind of product, that just means that they had twice as many products to sell. One for boys and one for girls. Deodorants, for example, for him and for her, is nonsense because they're the same product.
Women do have alkaline. Women do have alkaline sweat, and that's the only difference.
But, no, I mean, that's just one example. There's like him and her toothpaste and him and her body wash. It's
okay,
like,
okay. Here's the thing, though. Here's the
same
thing.
Stuff.
If you can't decide that this ballerina tutu with the sequins and all that. If you can't tell that your kid generally shouldn't be wearing it unless he asks for it, I'm not saying he shouldn't wear it if he wants it, but I'm just saying if you want to.
I'm not sure I can have this conversation with you.
Here's the thing. Well, parents buy clothes, right? But I'm just saying if you can't decide whether you want that for a boy or a girl in your head, if you can't identify it, then, you know, fine, whatever. That's your problem. Now, if the kid asks for whatever he wants, then I say, fine, let him experiment. You know, if he wants pink jeans, let him have pink jeans. You know, and by the way, real men wear pink. Just, you know. Just look at Brock.
I'm just saying, like, it shouldn't even be a thing. Like, it shouldn't even be a controversial thing whether or not men can wear pink. Are they allowed to? Does it mean they're less manly? I mean, the entire notion is ridiculous. So, moving
anyways.
On to Target, let's talk about
that. So here's the thing. So when Target announced this, a lot of people freaked out, you know. And at first, they thought this was a real Target PR, but it was someone trolling these people who were going, you know, nuts. And everything that this person wrote, I heard in Paul's voice. You know, I could literally hear Paul saying the words because they were exactly the sort of things that Paul would say in those deadpan, snarky, you know, faux happy, really annoyed tone of voice, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if it's just my imagination or if it really is the sort of things that Paul would say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the complaints, and Paul is going to read out the responses by this person who's posing as Target customer service, okay?
I'm enjoying this game.
So...
Okay, so yeah, fake customer service responses.
Right.
Gotcha.
And Scott is going to serve as a laugh track.
Good job. Good job, Scott. Way to chip in.
Okay, ready? The first one is Eddie and Candle Walkos. And by the way, they have their names together, so it's a couple.
Eddie and Candy? Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're breaking Facebook terms of service.
Stop.
Because they can't get accurate data on two people at once.
Okay, here's the thing. You're not allowed to talk because you have to act as the troll.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, I'm just commenting on Eddie and Candy, the single person who apparently are so codependent they have no individual relationship or identity, but whatever.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so Eddie and Candy Walco say, I want to say I am totally against Target doing away with gender-based bedding, etc. for children. We are no longer shopping at your store.
And we here at Target just want to say that we are totally against couples having one Facebook account. It is ridiculous and just wrong. We will now be adding you to the, quote, no one can shop here list.
See? It sounds exactly like Paul. What do you think, Scott?
Yes, it did. It was very
I found my people. Okay, you know what? frankly, guys, it's me. I'm sorry. I wrote all of those. The big reveal is out. This is all my work. Sounds exactly like me. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, the next person is Lisa Marie, not the Lisa Marie who married Michael Jackson, just so you know.
Has she done anything else with her life since then?
No, actually, she has.
Is she alive?
But not musically. No, she has been doing stuff, but it's been behind the scenes. She's been doing mostly producing and all that stuff. She has not. She's shrunk away from the spotlight because she doesn't want it. Which is fine.
I mean,
good
for her. I mean, hey, make valid life choices. I didn't know. I would have assumed that she would have done.
So she's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Okay.
Okay. Lisa Marie says, I am extremely outraged at your stupidity for doing away with gender separation at your stores. I just want you to know that if it means making 20% of your customers happy to lose the other 80%, you just did it. I wish I had known this before I went shopping this weekend. Thank God I haven't bought any school's clothes yet for my kids. You lost my business! !
Lisa, you sound like you need a Snickers. We will sell them by the packs here at Target. Stop on down by when you need some.
See?
You're grumpy when you're hungry.
You're grumpy when you're hungry.
Yeah.
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Oh, that reminds me of Paula Poundstone doing that entire thing about Snickers advertisements. That hunger is poking at you. You know, the way it's just hysterical. Okay. So, Rosie Shrum, and by the way, this is an elderly guy who's way
over... Well, the photo is of an elderly man. I mean, right. Rosie could very easily be honoring, you know, a gentleman that passed away. We shouldn't judge based on that, but it's just an observation, not a judgment.
Rosie Shrum. Wait, what? Where will I find my tampons at? Oh no, I'm so confused.
Rosie, we here at Target are confused. Your picture is of a man, but your name is Rosie, and you're asking where the tampons will be. The tampons will be in the same section they have always been, the feminine hygiene section, which, contrary to your belief, is not the toy section. Thank you for your customer loyalty.
See?
That was a good one.
Okay, this one is, and again, there's... Okay. Louise Dolly Glah. Damn it. Well, actually, the fact that her middle name is like that is actually a plot point in this. Louise Dolly Gagliardi Massa.
Dolly Gagliardi, by the way, is written as one word.
Luis Dolly Gagliardi Massa. You know, I would be... This would be ironic if this was a lesbian couple here. Because there's two women.
Yeah, there's a picture of two women.
Yeah.
Again, could be her mother.
Yeah, that's... So... Really, I must apologize for my error. I had no idea Target Facebook page was a sanctuary for the Rainbow Brigade. Forgive me for intruding on your sacred ground. Truly a place where I don't care to trot or belong. Truly my error. Such violence and intolerance. I leave you to each other. You deserve each other. By the way, the reason why I always said that was because it was almost one big long run-on sentence. So, the Target response was...
We forgive you, Luis Dolly Gagliardi Marassa, but we do not forgive your ridiculous middle name. Shame on you!
And their overuse of Truly, because Truly, Truly outrageous.
That movie is truly anything but outrageous.
Robert Hankins, you guys should listen to the people who spend money in your stores, not liberal PC complaint people that don't have 2 cents to rub together. I will not be shopping in your stores this season simply because my grandchildren deserve gender-specific toys, not gender-neutral toys. Boys need boy toys, and girls need girl toys.
What kind of boy toys do you enjoy playing with, Robert?
Okay, this one's my favorite, because this person has a Confederate flag as their picture. Now, by the way, the person's named Jewel Stiles, but when I went to look at their Facebook account, they had an NRA poster as another picture and the Dallas Cowboys, and it seemed very much that this was a man. Not a girl. So either he's posing, or maybe he's a male prostitute and going by his stage name. I don't know.
Catfish.
Jonah Falcon with the undercover investigation stories you deserve.
Anyways, this is so the reason, the fact that there's a Confederate flag here just puts the icing on the top of this comment. I have just unliked your Facebook page along with your store. I will no longer shop here. You have enraged many customers just to appease a few. God created males and females differently. Why would you try to remove the differences? Get a clue, Target. Your stupidity is showing.
Jewel, we're sorry you feel that way. We're also sorry you have such a strong opinion of things like flags and labels for toys of being girl or boy, and whatever else easily offends you. We at Target wish you well.
Yeah. So, anyways, I didn't know that Target was trying to remove genitals, to remove the differences between, because I'll give them a hint, you know, until they transition to a different gender, they have specific sexual organs which dictate basic gender. I know Paul's going to blow up at me for that, because gender and sex are, what's it called,
I am the biological last person
sex.
That can keep track of all of that. I mean, there's a...
But I'm just saying that biologically, they're very... You can't really, without some major surgery, change that. And from what I've seen, none of them have ever been changed to neutral. I don't think there's any transgender its out there. And if there are, I apologize. You know, people who decided they didn't want to be a boy or a girl just said, oh, just get rid of it all. I want to be a robot.
There's probably some people like that out there. But we'll move on.
Well, anyways, we have some listener feedback, and it seems like they two people posted, and they were directed at Paul and Scott without actually saying their names. Because I know neither of the questions were directed at me. So, we have listener feedback. Flumph from Fluttershy. Why wasn't this past season any good? And I'm going to assume that he's talking to Paul and asking him about season 5, which Paul complained about last week.
Where do I begin? you know, there wasn't any overarching plotline. I mean, the season before had... you know, Twilight was kind of trying to struggle with what does it mean for her to be a princess, and, you know, they discovered the Tree of Harmony and this locked chest, and, you know, and everybody went through episode after episode a continuing trial of their own, of what it is to be their own element of harmony, and it reinforced that lesson, and it all got pulled together in the season finale, where all of those lessons literally created keys which unlocked, you know, this mysterious treasure chest, which helped the main six defeat the villain together in a way that they could not do separately.
Even with all of the unicorn, alicorn magic in the kingdom.
But this season.
So that was there was a lot of thought put into that. It all tied together. They brought it back to something that had happened literally over 20 years ago by bringing back Tirak. It was just, there was a lot more care. Season 5 just kind of felt like every episode could have existed in a vacuum. It was really slapped together. The map that kind of sent people off in their own direction was like a good idea, but it didn't really pan out very much. It was nice that we got to, like, the nicest things that happened were we got to see a reason behind why Gilda the Griffin, Rainbow Dash's friend from season 1, was such a curmudgeon. And it was kind of like, well, when people are going through really hard times, you know, it affects their outlook on life. Mm. So maybe there's a little something going on there when somebody's being a bully. I mean, you could look into it. That was like one of the nicest things that happened in all of the 13 episodes. The only other thing that I thought was particularly interesting or new was spending an entire episode devoted to what's happening in the lives of the background ponies, like Dr. Hooves or Mr. and Mrs. Cake, and Amelia the Mule. I mean, we don't get, we get so wrapped up in the danger of the week. Like I said, the giant T-Rex coming at the end of last season, that it's often easy to overlook the littler stories, the simpler things that really people wanted to spend time with. What I didn't like, for example, though, was the finale. It felt like pandering.
Pandering.
Yeah, it's they end up, the entire village of Ponyville ends up all in the same dream together to fight a dream monster.
Oh, okay.
And it just felt like the number of inside jokes put in specifically for the Brony community was a little too much. I mean,
well, here's
like,
the question.
That's like where we stick in like the, Princess Big Mac
okay.
joke.
Here's a question for you. Had the rest of the season been, to your eyes, a higher standard, would you have not minded all the fan service at the end in the last episode?
It just felt like it lacked direction, and okay. that they were just like they didn't know what they wanted to do. So it's like, let's just kind of, take all of this Brony generated humor and stick it in our show because those are the people we want to keep happy without bringing in anything that is,
yeah. I mean, here's
well
the thing.
Well thought here's, out and designed.
Here's basically. The thing. The Bronies are the zeitgeist, right? But the show is still aimed at kids, I mean, yeah, the Bronies have the zeitgeist, Haha, Bronies, look, these are college-age males who are into this kids show. Yeah, that's fine, but it's still a kids show, so...
Maybe I'm not expressing this as well as I could be, but it just... There was not the presence of one creative leader that said... This story is going to ultimately be about alienation or about equality or, something in the way that it was in the way that the previous season was all about. What does it mean to have a view of yourself? What happens to us when we question our self-identity?
Right.
Okay. By seeing Twilight's journey over that throughout the season, this everything just kind of felt slapdash and thrown together. And let's quick grab some jokes to keep our people happy without really being who we are, without really being the pony team that's writing this story for our audience.
Right. Okay, moving on to the next item. This is from Bobby X, and I'm having a feeling this is directed at Scott. Do you like building by yourself in Minecraft, or do you like having friends helping out?
I like having friends help me out when they can. A lot of projects I kind of end up doing by myself, but we've been building certain big projects that we'll try to work together on, like the World Wonder Hanging Gardens that I'm doing, which is basically a super farm for the whole server. And so I get feedback.
No, wait, is it your server or is it a group server? Your group
server.
Oh, okay.
And so like I said, I'm building an uber farm and getting all these different crops there. So it helps to have people help you out. But I like... Really, the best part is building something and having your friends see it and come run around, and it is nice, And working together on projects to bring something together is satisfying as well. Yeah. So
Microsoft right now is selling Windows 10 Minecraft for $10. So I'm still, you know, the problem with Minecraft is that it's a big time sink. So, you know, so I have to be careful.
You get what you put into it, I guess. I mean, it's a very big sandbox. It's whatever you want it to be. So if you want to just, you know, you do whatever you want. You don't have to farm and do all that stuff. You could do just creative, or you can use, there's a program, Minecraft, I forgot what it is. But
I know the software you're talking about.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of options you could do. You could do an adventure map, and there's all sorts of adventure maps. Yeah. You know, from parkour to PvP to just also, you know, it's like, name it, you can do it. You know, there's game shows. There's all sorts of different things you can do with it. So it's not everything is a time sink in Minecraft. So it's just a lot of options.
So once again, the question of the week was, what game are you looking forward to that's coming up in this coming season? You know, the fall season, it's when all the big games are being released. It's like we had this week of a breather before everything just piles up and makes your wallet cry out in pain. So look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. You can enjoy feedback, so leave us a comment at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave some iTunes comments. You can follow me, Paul, and Scott on @JonahFalcon, @StageRoomMonkey, and @AlphaShard. So,
happy
yeah.
Game,
what?
Sorry.
So,
I got
to
jump to goodbye. Sorry.
Double click goodbye? What?
So anyways, yeah, this show is a lot better than the last show because I just decided I wasn't going to edit it and just put all the crumminess in one episode and just said it was one of the worst episodes we ever did.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was terrible.
And if I don't listen to the show after we recorded, I can't do that to myself.
Yeah, I mean, well, see, the thing is, I was bad and everybody else was bad, but I was mostly bad because I chose bad subjects. A lot of them just
What was I bad
out.
About?
I don't know. We were just bad as a team, I think. So, I think this
Mercury
episode
was in retrograde. It wasn't our fault. We're going to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and move on.
Yeah. Anyways, this was a good episode, especially, see, I was right, you know, and Paul...
Which never happens.
Paul was the person disguised as this guy. He used a different name, and he was actually the person behind all these snarky comments.
Late-breaking developments here on Games Podcast.
There's a... This guy, I forgot his name, he posted a ton of... see, the thing is, of course, they deleted the account because, you know, he was impersonating a target employee. But he did you know, capture all these pictures of his thing. His name is Mike Melgard. That's with two A's in his name. And you should read the comments of people reading these things, you know, because all these people are snarking at, you know. And there's this one guy, his name is Josh Taylor, who kept on reporting him to Facebook, thinking he was a real Target employee, asking him why, as a consumer, customer service person, why he was so snarky and sarcastic and not very, you know, and he just led him around. What happens is, whenever he did that, he said, "Oh, please don't tell my manager," you know, all this stuff, just pretending he really was scared that he was going to get reported, you know. So he strung him out like that. I mean, this is one of the instances in which I do like trolling, because it's sort of trolling in the way of Mark Twain and George Carlin. You know, in which you're getting people to react, but not harmful trolling, you know, in which you're just shutting down a conversation. It's more like you're making people stick their own feet in their own mouths, you know.
They were using the trolling powers for good.
Yeah. People are just putting their feet in their own mouth, you know. So, anyways... so, anyways, we will see you next week. I said that wrong. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Bye, Bonds. What? It's good advice.
Paul is still typing about werewolf, and he's probably going to mock people saying, you couldn't tell I was a werewolf.
No,
it sounds a lot like Mafia.
Well, Mafia and Werewolf are the same game, except instead of, you know. I prefer Werewolf to Mafia because Werewolf has more interesting roles that you can have, like the seer, the guardian, let me ask you a question, Paul. Do you have characters like that are on the werewolf side, like the minions?
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's not like we've gone and invented our own game. I mean, you can go buy Ultimate Werewolf.
I like the Boogeyman because the Boogeyman's on his own team. And if people take too long to either choose someone to lynch, if the werewolves take too long to pick someone to eat, he eats one of the werewolves. So,
that seems like an entirely unnecessary role.
No, it's fine. Actually, I like the Tanner the best. The Tanner is a villager who wants to die, so his main thing is trying to get the villagers to lynch him. If the villagers lynch
the jester.
If the villagers lynch the Tanner wins, no one else wins. So, yeah. Well, and it adds...
I really dislike it when it's down to, like, oh, this one person wins, or the other 20 people playing the game can win.
Well, no, like,
that one person, like, do you really want to...
No, well, the purpose of the Tanner...
No fun at all.
The purpose of the Tanner is to basically make people less likely to lynch a werewolf, because they'll be thinking, wait a minute, is he a werewolf, or is he just a Tanner trying to get himself killed? So you have to be a little more cautious. That's what I like about it. Because if someone's acting like a werewolf, you know, people just point him, oh yeah, kill him. You know, at least the Tanner adds some doubt into people's heads, you know?
That's a lot like the Jester and Mafia.
Okay. There was something else I was going to say about Werewolf, and I completely forgot it. Oh, there's also the idiot and the pacifist. The idiot must always vote to lynch, and the pacifist may never vote to lynch. So, anyway, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing how you play your games of Werewolf out there, Paul. I just need to get out there when you're gaming. I think Paul's still posting on the werewolf.
No, I don't understand what you're talking about, John.
I'm just saying I would like to be in the West Coast sometime when you're actually playing Werewolf, because it would be interesting to see how. Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see, because here's the thing: every group plays differently, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Here's a question for you. Your group, is it? You immediately show your role after you're lynched, or you don't say anything? You don't reveal your role after you're lynched?
Oh, partial reveal.
How? What?
Partial reveal. You only find out if the person was good or bad if they are lynched by the village in the day. If they died in the night, you don't know.
What?
It is called partial reveal.
Okay.
If the village lynches somebody in the day,
right,
you find out only if they were good or bad. If
anyone dies in the night,
you are not told anything.
Well, obviously, because the werewolves know who they are.
There are other reasons people can get killed in the night.
Right. The way I prefer it is that you don't reveal anything at all, whether they're werewolf or anything or what their role was, because there is one other role that can work if you do that, and that's the counter. And what happens is that when the counter wakes up, he's told by the moderator how many werewolves are still alive, and then that's his entire thing. So, you know, I don't like having roles revealed. I like having the mystery. You know, we either people killed a werewolf or not. You know, one thing that sucks is I've seen once or twice in which all that's left is two werewolves and one person, and that means it's game over.
Well, no, I mean, that's not something to not like. That's called the werewolves got a victory.
They got one, yeah.
It's called the werewolves won. They did a good job. They deserve it.
Yeah. There's also the lone wolf. And that is, if the lone wolf is the last person alive, he wins and no one else does. And he's a werewolf, you know. He counts as a werewolf, but, you know. Again, I know you don't like that one person wins and everybody else loses thing you just said, but I'm just saying, you know, I've only seen someone get close to that, you know, being the last person alive. It was entertaining.
I just think you're focusing far too much on individual roles and not not the overarching reason for their inclusion.
It may sound like that. I'm just saying the roles that I enjoy seeing in the game. I know the, what's it called, the overarching mechanics and all that. Do you play Resistance at all?
I played it once. I didn't care for it.
Oh, why? No elimination?
I mean, I also don't particularly enjoy hidden role games in general, like, as a
only werewolf,
genre,
huh?
But I enjoy playing werewolf with my friends.
Oh, okay. How big is your group when you play?
It ranges anywhere between 13 and, during convention weekends, 75 people.
Yeah, 75 people is a bit much, because if you're the first person lynched... Okay, see you guys later. I'll be back in 3 hours when you're finished.
Yeah, three is when we're like 12 people.
Well, I don't know how fast you... I don't know what kind of timer you have for lynching, you know. So, okay. Anyways, seriously, we will see you next week.
Yeah, we did that already.
I know. I just did it
again. You were just saying it to me. Okay, I'll see you next week.
I did it to everybody.
Oh, okay, bye.
Because I was recording this entire thing.
I'm sure you were. I mean, want me to have a long, in-depth discussion about the mechanics of Werewolf, I'm happy to do that.
Oh, go ahead. I don't mind. We can listen.
I'll
leave this recording.
I don't have the time right now. You just had me on the freaking, you know, whole podcast here.
I'll tell you what. Maybe we should, you know, that's actually a better idea. Scott, do you play...
I'm not writing copy about Werewolf if we want to discuss it. I'm happy to do that.
Scott, do you play Werewolf?
I have not. I played Mafia, though.
Okay, well, that's the same thing, really. I mean, just different roles. I mean, different names for all the roles. But, okay. So maybe we'll have a werewolf / mafia discussion.
Sure.
Just have to figure out what to talk about in that case.